only one of the greatest entrance musics of all time, but just that glass breaking at the start. It's awesome. It's just awesome all around music, and even based off a Rage Against the Machine music song, apparently.
Even if you're a casual fan, you surely should know who that music is, and that is one Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Before we get into everything, the whole reason we're playing that, because currently there's a legal dispute between WWE and a Kansas City Chiefs player, or star, really, because he's a phenomenal player, Chris Jones. So apparently Chris Jones...
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah, so Chris Jones has been working on expanding his brand. He's, since January last year, he's been selling a range of sodas. January last year, by the way, under the soda name Stone Cold Jones Sodas. So in conjunction with KC Soda. But because their popularity is growing huge, now someone from, obviously, WWE has picked it up and said, no, sorry, we own the Stone Cold name, which is clearly... You know, clearly there's no way they're not going to settle. He's going to have to change it to something else.
Because he's going to have to. Because, I read that same article. It's WWE have got trademarked Stone Cold and Stone Cold Steve Austin. So Chris Jones is kind of screwed.
They have a trademark for a lot of names. Like even I was listening to a review of Cena. So Cena, if he's in a movie, he has to pay Vince some of the royalty because he owns a John Cena name, so he doesn't own his own name.
Vince a very, very smart businessman.
Of course it does. Before we move on, but I love the drink name. So he's got South Beach Lemonade, Wake Up It's Game Day Espresso Soda, Mississippi Mud Chocolate Cream, and I don't know if this is clearly a play on words, but Bury the Niners.
Oh,
so
that must have that's obviously a new flavor.
Yeah, well, and it looks like the most tasty out of all of them. But yeah, clearly he's a huge fan of the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, no,
serious player words. I love it. Obviously this is about the NFL podcast, and obviously we're up to week 7, so I'll rip through the scores now. The first game, oh god, I'm gonna have to talk about my team. The first game is. The Eagles, I just realized I have to talk about them. Eagles beating the Giants 22-21. The Lions beating the whole week is a lot of close scores. Lions just beating the Falcons 23-22. The Browns just pipping the Bengals 37-34.
That was a really good game.
The Steelers still unblemished 27-24 over Tennessee Titans. The Saints just beating the Panthers 27-24. The Bills, I guess, getting there in the end and just beating the Jets, still winless, 18-10. There was a couple of blowout games. Washington football team beat the hapless Cowboys 25-3. The Packers blitzed the Texans 35-20. The Bucks absolutely demolished the Raiders 45-20. The Chiefs beat the Broncos 43-16. The Niners beat the Pats 33-6. That game was just, Pats are in big trouble. The Chargers beat the Jags 39-29. The Cardinals beat the Seahawks 37-34 in OT. And today's game was the Rams.
That was a wild game as well.
Yeah, the Rams beating the Bears 24-10. Yeah, that game was wild. Seahawks and Cardinals. It was not how I exactly, I guess I thought it was going to pan out, personally.
No, well, doing tipping, I absolutely had no equivocations in tipping the Seahawks. But, I mean, I guess we probably should have seen a high-scoring game coming. The way that Arizona's offense seems to get going. Obviously, they've got one of the best wide receivers getting around. They're really utilizing their other good skill position players. There's guys like Isabella, Chase Edmonds. They've got really good weapons all the way around, and their defense is actually not too bad as well. Like we know that the Seahawks have sort of been struggling a little bit on defense, especially since Jamal Adams has gone. To say Russell Wilson, he didn't have his greatest game. Like, you know, he threw for 388 yards. Like, he was good, but three picks was a little worrying. He'd had three picks all year. For him to throw three in this game, was a little startling, I guess. But in the big spots, I guess, like, there was zero sacks on either quarterback all the way through regulation.
Yeah.
And in overtime, Russell Wilson got sacked twice.
Yeah.
And Murray got sacked once. So I guess it sort of ramped up a little bit once overtime hit, but there was so much to talk about in this game.
Well, that first quarter with Chris Carson going down with a foot injury the first quarter, I think that hurt him big time, because Russell Wilson ended up getting the most rushing yards in 84 yards from six carries. Their biggest thing, and I just, because I had to look up the stats, so they allowed 519 yards against Arizona. So now they are now, through six games, the most yards allowed in NFL history at 2,875.
No, they just get there. That's it. They just get the. I talk about the Saints and their big plays that they can't stop. Like that, Seattle just cannot stop. They cannot stop the big plays.
Which I don't get. They've got Bobby Wagner there among a slew of great, great defensive players. They, for a team that's 5-1, I just cannot believe they've let so many yards go this year.
Oh, I guess it's a fact of we're just going to outscore you. You know, they've got beasts like Tyler Lockett, who had 200 receiving yards in this game. Like, that is ridiculous. DK Metcalf, who is just. He is, you see the size, he is a man among men, and he ran down
safety
because he stole his chocolates.
Yeah.
he stole his chocolates, and I could not believe that he chased him down with a 10-yard head start.
It was Baker.
That was unbelievable.
Butter Baker. And he
Butter Baker.
Butter Baker.
And he was really good last week for Arizona as well. I'm pretty sure he had two interceptions last week as well. And he's looked really good in their secondary. And DK Metcalf said, hey, hang on a minute. That's my bag of chocolates. You better give them back, boy. And he hunted him down. And I couldn't believe that he gave up 10 yards and he still caught him before he scored a touchdown. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was Buddha that came out, but someone came out later and said, for someone as big as he is, DK Metcalf, to gun him down and get him. They want to see him run against a cheater in the off season, because a lot of people believe DK Metcalf is the quickest. So
you'd absolutely give him a run for his money.
Clearly, having Hopkins there still is working the charms for Kyler Murray. You know, again topping the yards there, 103 yards.
Yeah, then I seen a replay of I think it was the Hopkins touchdown, and they had a camera panned right on Kyler Murray, and you see just the gigantic grin on his face as he launches the pass when they realize that DeAndre Hopkins is in single coverage, down the field. And look, Hopkins, it wasn't an easy catch, but he still caught it.
Yeah.
So much happened in this game that the flurry of points at the end of the second quarter. Christian Kirk, I didn't mention. Like, Christian Kirk played really well in this game. The scoring in this game was out of control.
Kind of a forgotten person, Christian Kirk. You know, once DeAndre got there, and everyone loves Larry Fitzgerald, clearly, but yeah, he's kind of a forgotten man. Yeah, he played. They're not a team to sleep on. They have weapons. I mean, this is an NFC West rivalry, but the NFC West have.
It's the toughest division in football at the moment.
Well, they have three teams that have got five wins.
San Francisco is 3-3. And they're just absolutely decimated on injury wise, and they walk into New England and stomp all over the Patriots.
Yeah. That was that big flurry after the second quarter. That's what I guess got it home for the Cardinals. That's what I thought. Sort of thought, or at least a sort of draw. I'm surprised they got. I mean, I suppose going off those yards, I'm not now, but I was surprised they got down there so quickly to be in that sort of range to get the draw right just before the time expired.
It was. You know, and they score. You know, they had no choice but to score. They had to score just before the 2 minute warning. You know, for the fourth quarter, Christian Kirk got another touchdown. He had two in this game. But as they sort of marched down there again, the turnover right down at the end of the quarter for the Seahawks. And then Kyler Murray gets them within range, and Gonzalez kicks the field goal to make it 34 all at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
And then overtime comes around, and Wilson gets picked off in overtime.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, like what is going on? That they Gonzalez misses a field goal, and the only reason he missed the field goal is because on the first attempt that he had at the 48-yarder, they were running out of time. Their play clock was about to expire. They had to call it. Arizona had to call a timeout.
Yeah, yeah.
And he slots it, and it's like, oh, okay, cool, no worries. We'll just go back, and he'll hit it again. He hits it again, and he misses it.
Yeah, yeah. It was a wild. I don't know. It was a wild game. It's clearly for both of these teams. It's clearly two teams that are well. I mean, look, it depends which way it's going to sort of fall, but two teams that are clearly, I suppose the new rule this year is going to help, but two teams clearly in playoff picture. I mean, Seahawks are definitely in that playoff picture, but there's no reason going off the new rule of them having that, I guess, wild card, so to speak, position, go the third sort of team going through, depending on where you fall. In terms of, like, you know, if you're 5-2 and that, so
of record, yeah, so it goes on record.
So that team can clearly, well, all three, even the Rams, all three of those teams will clearly, going off the way it is, clearly make, you know, I guess the playoffs this year, the NFC playoffs at least.
Well, if they keep playing the way that they are, so you know they've got continue on that form.
Not much in between.
No, that's all. This is Seattle's first loss of the season as well. Yeah. Like, and it could have been totally different as well. Like, you know, Seattle still could have won this. There was the holding penalty on DK Metcalf in overtime as well, and as he goes through and gets it, you know, makes the touchdown, but they call it back. You know, Wilson's picked, and then then Gonzalez gets a chance to actually redeem himself. And he slots the field goal, you know, in overtime to get Arizona the win.
Yeah, Russell, that pick on Russell. Yeah, I'm not sure. It sort of was that Simmons. Yeah, Simmons got on the 39 yard. I don't. Was he looking for Lockett way too much? Because that's what it sort of felt like. Towards the end, don't get me wrong.
That's, I mean, you can't. Yeah, that's, I mean, not that. Yeah, he was the hot guy to be able to get it to, but there's just, I don't know whether there's just a little bit of anticipation. Like, he's only thrown three interceptions all year, Wilson, and he throws three in this game. And I guess the lack of run game as well, you know, and the lack of trust, I guess, he has in Carlos Hyde. They had no choice but to go to the pass game.
Yeah, I don't think they had no choice once Chris Carson went down. But, you know, you still had weapons like DK Metcalf and DJ Moore that he could have thrown to. So,
no, that's right. And Will Dissly as well. They've got the tight end there as well. I think it was just more anticipation rather than anything, the reason that he sort of got picked off as much. I don't think he was – I just think it was just good, you know, good defensive reads. Yeah. You know, whether they're trying to feed, you know, one receiver a little bit too much or not, I don't really buy into that. Is if Russell Wilson's doing Russell Wilson things, he puts the ball, you know, right in your bread basket, right where you can get it and the defender can't. So a high scoring game for you know, for the Sunday, you know, the Sunday night cap off to sort of, yeah, round out all the Sunday games.
I wanted to move on to the other one you said, that capitulation by the Pats, 33-6, the Niners. I mean, it got Cam Newton was absolutely, you know, terrible. There's no other way to put it.
It was dreadful.
One, you know, 9 out of 15, 98 yards. And once he got those three interceptions early, they pulled him. They put Stidham on. So they had no choice.
Yeah, they benched him throughout the third quarter. Like this, you know, a couple little quirky stats that sort of come out of this game. It was the first opponent to score an opening drive touchdown in Foxborough in the last 32 games. So, you know, they marched down the field. San Francisco with relative ease to score on their opening drive. So that's the first time that's happened by an opponent in Foxborough for the last 32 games. The other thing New England just had no time of possession. You know, only 7.5 minutes in the first half. You know, Newton throws three interceptions, gets pulled. It's the worst home under Bill Belichick, 27 points.
Yeah. What's
and all I can think of is Tom Brady must just be smiling and laughing while he's sitting back in Tampa Bay going, well, these are the same sort of weapons and personnel that you wanted to give me, this year. And yeah, look what I've got. I've got myself a Mike Evans, a Chris Godwin, a Rob Gronkowski, and now I'm going to have an Antonio Brown. So he must just be sitting back, tilting his chair and laughing.
Possibly, but then I look that to me. I know everyone was going on about like who had more pressure, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady. Does a head coach, you know, as good as he is, does he really have to have pressure on him? If they do a terrible season, well, at least to say, well, you know, I didn't have anybody and I didn't have Brady, so you know, it's not really going to bother him, if you know what I mean.
That's the point of it.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to bother Belichick, but that's the point of it. That's, you know, he did a Belichick on Belichick. You know, Belichick has been renowned for getting rid of somebody a year too early rather than a year too late. And Tom's just gone, look, I've got more to offer, so I don't want to offer anything here anymore. I don't think he was having a lot of fun, especially last year. And, you know, apart from, I guess, a couple of games where he sort of, yeah, Brady has yelled and screamed at a few people on the sidelines. I think he's just having more fun down there in Tampa.
I think so. And look at the weapons he's got. But I mean,
that's
my
right.
God,
wouldn't you be having fun if you've got that array of sort of skill positions to throw to, plus Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, plus Leonard Fournette. Possibly, if they waited long enough, it wouldn't have been Leonard Fournette. They would have had probably Le'Veon Bell the way they were going. That would have been. I thought about that the other day. Imagine if they had Le'Veon Bell. My God, that would have been. Oh yeah, that would have been absolutely crazy.
That's right. And he goes to a team that absolutely doesn't need him anyway, in the Kansas City Chiefs. So.
But I mean, is Jimmy sort of looking the good still? Like, do you think?
He's an above average guy, and what he's doing with, you know, the skill position people that he has at the moment is exceptional.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think it's absolutely exceptional because he has nobody. You know, teams.
He did throw two interceptions. He's sort of prone to throwing interceptions every now and then, but yeah, their game is predicated on the run game at the moment. So all he's got to do, Jimmy G, is not turn the ball over, and they'll be a lot better off for it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if they would be completely, again, they're 4-3, so they're not doing terribly, but they clearly would be a lot better if they had one. Well, we've said it last week, but a decent sort of wide receiver. And two, just that had their defensive weapons back, but they, you know, that's what they're clearly lacking. So, with New England, I don't know where they can go. I honestly don't.
I don't know where they go, what to do. You know, Belichick has sort of come out as well at the start of this week and said that they'll obviously be going back to Cam. He's going to be the starter, but if whether this game was a bit of an outlier that he looked that bad. You know, 9 completed passes is pretty ordinary. But you think back to last week, Kyler Murray had 9 completed passes. Granted, yeah, it was against the Dallas Cowboys, but Kyler Murray had 9 completed passes, and you know they ended up beating the Dallas Cowboys. So, just the way that New England looked terrible on both sides of the football. That's part of the problem as well. It's, you know, their defense was historically good last year, and it's just, you know, they've got plenty of guys on both sides of the ball that have pulled out this year due to COVID-19. So it's just this is all on Belichick and how he's sort of going to draw up something. He's got to get Cam Newton and Julian Edelman on the right page. Guys like N'Keal Harry, they've just got to get on the same page.
Well, speaking about Brady, my God, didn't the Bucs really just teach, I guess, the Raiders a lesson? It was phenomenal. That fourth quarter
it was a closest game. Going into the fourth quarter, it was 24-20 going into the fourth quarter, and then and then Tampa just goes and scores 21 for 3 touchdowns, and all Las Vegas could muster up was a field goal.
Yeah. And
those 3 touchdowns came in like a 5.5 minute window. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. It's probably just classic Tom Brady. But again, just, you know, having a guy that, not essentially a nobody, but having a guy that, with the amount of weapons that they have there, but they had a guy in Scotty Miller getting over 100 yards. Tom Brady is really, I mean, I'm seeing it now. Tom Brady is really as good as he is just absolutely phenomenal. It's amazing what he can do with a team.
And the thing is too, it's like crazy. You know, he's still got a decent deep ball in him. Like if you have a look, you know, you compare the two oldest guys that are running around there, and him and Drew Brees. Yeah, Drew Brees he's lost that real big deep ball ability. Like people call him noodle arm, but I don't think it's that bad. But yeah, the way that they play, he likes to dink and dunk and get those, you know, check downs and the smaller type passes. I just don't think that he has the long ball arm in him as much as what Brady does at the moment. There was a couple of passes that were 45, 46 yards in the air.
Yeah.
That Brady is throwing, and it's phenomenal the way he's doing it. 42.
I think with on the other side with the Raiders, they just couldn't get that run game going. I think Josh Jacobs was just repelled every single time. He only got 17 yards out of 10 carries. So they couldn't get that run game going, they went to the air, and Nelson Aguilar got his first touchdown for the season, and also picked up 100 yards. But yeah, it was their running game that let them down big time. Huge.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They squashed out, that run game a lot. Derek Carr he's a very serviceable, quarterback there. You're just coming up against Tom Brady. Like, there was no pressure put on Tom Brady at all. Listening to a radio show today from the States, they pressured Tom Brady, like the Vegas defense, like that Vegas front line. They pressured Brady on 7% of their defensive snaps. So on Brady's offensive snaps, 7% of the time they actually got pressure on him, which is just, if you just allow Brady to be a statue and stand in the pocket as long as they are, you're going to get burnt every single time.
Yeah. For 42 years old, to be slinging it the way he does.
That's the key point. You know, with the older guys like that in, you know, Phillip Rivers, Drew, Tom Brady, you've got to give them time, or all it's going to be, if they get the ball out of their hands in less than 2 seconds, then they're going to be those short zippy passes that players like Drew Brees does with incredible accuracy.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady does as well. But it's, I still think Tom Brady has still got the deep ball in him, and that's good for guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Speaking of old guys that is still slinging it, but, not having the greatest game, even though they won, the Steelers beating the Titans. I mean, Big Ben did not have the greatest game at all. He got three interceptions, and it was 23-32 for 49-268.
One of those interceptions was a little bit of luck. It sort of bobbed up and flopped around the air a little bit. But still, an interception is an interception.
Again, even though he got three interceptions, he effectively used his running game and his receiving game enough to get him the W. I'm still shocked that they're 6-0. I know how they were played last year and they didn't have Big Ben, but I did not think that he was going to make such a difference. I guess this early the way they finished last year. I know they have great defense, but still, I just didn't think it was going to be this good this early.
No, well, that's it. A little statistic that sort of come out of that, the winner of a team this late in the season of undefeated, we're in week seven, so the winner of an undefeated team this late in the season goes on to the Super Bowl every time.
Yeah.
Not wins the Super Bowl, but just goes on to the Super Bowl, which is, if you're on mm-hmm. sports bet, then get on Pittsburgh to win the AFC, because stats don't lie, do they? Stats lie? Do they lie?
It's not a bad, but really, it's not. I could see them, at least getting. I don't know. I don't know. See, that's the thing. Like they, Juju finally.
The AFC is wide open.
I think so. Juju started. He got 9 out of 14 targets for 85 yards, and that's the kind of way that Juju should be playing, the way he sort of played the last couple of years.
They're big offensive players, and their go-to offensive players did what they needed to do. James Conner was good in the run game as well. Big Ben, like you said, he threw three interceptions, which isn't terrific, but, Juju Smith-Schuster got rolling. James Conner was good.
He's starting to roll.
The thing that cost Tennessee was their first half. Their first half, just nothing was going right for them. There's a play right near the end of the first half where it was a Tennessee punt. It's a low snap, and the punter has to run around and scramble and try and throw the ball. It was insane.
I do remember that. And look, they were definitely in that game. They were definitely in that the game for the win.
They couldn't make Pittsburgh pay for those three interceptions by Big Ben. That was the thing. Off those three interceptions, they only ended up with 3 points out of those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was their biggest problem. Looks like AJ Brown sort of getting back into form already. He got 6 out of 8. Targets for 153 yards, but he got that huge 73 yard run.
That was a bomb.
That was their first loss. I still think they're good at the moment, Tennessee. I think where their position and everything, I think they're still great guns, personally.
They're still humming along. They're still humming along really well. I guess this was coming. We talked up Ryan Tannehill something fierce last week, and he had an ordinary game. Derrick Henry, they stuffed him. The Pittsburgh defense stuffed him, especially in the first half. Mm. Henry just had one of those, not so much historically bad sort of first halves, but it was, he had 27 rush yards in the first half. They totally stuffed him. Tennessee only had 82 total offensive yards in the first half. It was just, it was unreal. Big Ben was completing at a crazy rate on third down as well. Against Tennessee, he was 8 of 9 in the first half, and then ended the game 13 of 18 on third down conversions. If you just keep marching the ball down the field like that, then it's it's going to make it hard for you to come back. And Tennessee's first half was pretty bad, and that's it ended up costing them the game, besides the fact that Steven Goskowski missed a field goal right at the end of the game to send it to overtime.
Yeah, and he's sitting at punter one at the moment.
He's been reliable previously, yeah. But as he's missed a couple of PATs this year. I think he's missed, you know, and for them to still be 5-1 is admirable by Tennessee. They haven't had the greatest season from Goskowski.
No, but when you've got like a, you know, talking about beast, we said before, you've got a massive beast at the running back in Derrick Henry. I'm pretty sure you should be still fine.
That's right.
But they're 5-1. They're in the AFC South, so they sitting pretty up the top there. And then second to the Colts.
They'll win that division, I think, with relative ease.
You know, Colts is one. They've had the bye, but I'd love to talk about them next week if they win, just because they're a sleeper side that now you pretty much can wipe the Texans and the Jags. The Colts are a team, you know, I know we talk about Rivers, but probably not a team to sleep on, really.
If Rivers can stop throwing interceptions, then yeah, they might be doing better than what they are.
There's plenty of other games I don't want to talk about. So what are the games that you want to talk about?
So a game that I do want to talk about is the Washington football team against the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, I'm not sure if you wanted to talk about that one. Is that one of those games you didn't want to talk about? I don't know.
No. You know, we're on to our ninth string. I swear to God, we're probably going to play. You know, we've our offensive coordinators and our quarterback. We might have to play him next week. So
there's a possibility.
I don't know what to say because.
By the looks of it, you'll be starting Ben DiNucci next week.
Unless we can pull out. I was thinking of names. I think I was messing in another group, but just the names who they could get. The only one that they could possibly get that's on a practice squad is Cooper Rush, who knows the book.
No, that's it. He's been there before. Why don't you chase after Blake Bortles?
Yeah. I mean, again, you know,
that's what it's come down to.
Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator, is only 25, and he's an old quarterback, and he clearly knows his own book. So and this is the whole reason that this guy's been taken out of the game is Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott is having one of his poorest seasons in years because he has been
really bad this year.
But in fairness to him, they're constantly chasing points, so they have to sling it. They don't have a choice.
That's right. They've got no choice. They've absolutely got no choice.
I don't want to talk about this game. It was great by Washington, and they got a couple of decent players in there. They're all still young,
Antonio Gibson was good. Terry McLaurin is proving really to be a really good weapon for them.
Yeah, that's a really good player.
Yeah, Logan Thomas, the tight end there, he's a former quarterback.
Yeah.
And he is just a big 6'6" marauding tight end that you can put the ball in places that defensive backs and safeties and cornerbacks just can't get to.
And your boy Kyle Allen really didn't play that bad. He didn't play great, but he didn't play terrible either. He didn't have to.
Yeah, their MO was to just run the ball down your throat, and that's exactly what they did.
And their defense, they got a great defensive team too. You know,
Chase Young, the young number two pick there is always going to be a bit of a menace. But the John Bostic hit helmet to helmet on Andy Dalton was just horrific to watch, yeah. And just to see Andy Dalton flop down in a big limp pile of arms and legs didn't look good at all.
And red hair. Yeah, no, he...
And he just Bostic looked bewildered why he was ejected from the game.
Because, there's a whole...
No, it's, I mean, I understand, but he looked bewildered. He's like, oh, well, you can see him sort of mouth, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you kidding? He's just used that helmet like a torpedo. Andy Dalton's helmet comes flying off,
yeah.
And he's just lying on the ground like a big bag of dirt. And you're like, oh my god, like that's an instant ejection. I don't understand why he thought, oh wow.
Well, for people that don't know, yeah, there's especially with this whole concussion, all the concussion rules are out, which is great. I mean, it's in every sport now, which is phenomenal. But you basically can't have that helmet-to-helmet contact anymore. Or you lower your head at least. You can't lower your head.
No, that's what he did. Yeah, it's the using of the crown of the helmet. He absolutely lowered his head. Like,
and
it's
you can't do that anymore.
Some tackles where you see helmet-to-helmet contact, then you can't not happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's incidental, but they still throw a flag for a penalty. This was a human torpedo.
Yeah, you can't do it, which is great. I mean, it's good because, I mean, it's more than likely that Dalton's going to sit out next week anyway, purely because I don't think he'll pass any concussion.
Well, he's in concussion protocol and just the way that he the way that he was lying there and the way that he got carried off the field. Like I said, I think you'll be starting Ben DiNucci next week.
I don't want to start Ben DiNucci. I hope we fix someone.
You've got no other option, have you?
Oh, we should just make a trade for Fitzmagic and just be done with it.
Oh, my Lord.
Fitzmagic, hey, why not? Would
be loving it there in Dallas.
Why not? All those weapons, you know, give them a fifth or whatever. He's pretty much on the outer now with Miami. I would. Why not? That'd be awesome.
Be worth a shot. It'd definitely be a lot more exciting in Dallas than what it is at the moment.
He'd wear that stuff that he wore to that Tampa Bay Post interview. Remember that where he just wore that? He had the glasses on. He had that open shirt. Oh, I'd love to see that. Just slinging it to everybody and then, he's nuts. Mr. Harvard himself.
Oh, he loves it.
Any other games you want to touch on?
Look, I thought a very intriguing finish game was the Lions and the Falcons. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Not the most aesthetically pleasing game up until about 4 minutes to go, in the fourth quarter, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Aesthetically, it wasn't the most pleasing game at all. I mean, I am glad, at least, yes, the Falcons went down, but I am glad they're starting to, I guess Matt Ryan's starting to realize he has weapons and he's using them in Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley had
Did he not realize that before?
Well, I don't know, did he? Because they just, if it's not him, the offensive play caller there just did not use them effectively. I know Julio's been injured.
He's got Hayden Hurst there as well. So, the former Ravens tight end there. Like, he's got guys to throw to.
It was a funny old game, especially up until that fourth quarter where, you know, I'm probably trampling on my dud of the week, or sort of the dud of the week, but basically, I think it had like a minute left, and Todd Gurley basically effectively ran through the line untouched and then tried to stop himself at that 1 yard line.
Got the first down, which is what they needed to just be able to burn the clock out, kick a field goal, and the game's over. But
effectively what would happen is if he stopped at the 1 yard line, they could run the clock out, and as Miles said, and then kicked a field goal. But because he tried to stop himself and fell over the line, yes, he gets a touchdown, but that gave Detroit Lions and Matt Stafford a minute to sort of get down the field, which they did.
The thing was, okay, they got the touchdown, so that puts them up 20-16. They went for the two-point conversion, got the two-point conversion to make it 22-16. So, and you could hear the commentators, because they sort of, after the Saints Carolina game, it sort of finished a little bit early, so they went to this game as a little bit of extra added footage on 7/8, and this basically came up, and you could hear the commentator saying, said they've left Matt Stafford too much time, 1:04, and they left him too much time.
Well, that's, you know,
it was unreal.
Point, in this kind of game, that's a lot of time, really, if you sort of think about it.
Oh, no, absolutely. And that's what I mean. I totally didn't have that much faith in Matt Stafford to be able to march down the field 75 yards.
Oh, and he did.
And to make the plays that he did, that he was targeting TJ Hockenson. He didn't get out of bounds on one play, so they had to get the line back in the middle to spike it. Every time that they made a play and a run play, they had to get up to the line of scrimmage and spike the ball. They get down. Stafford looks like he's just about to be swallowed up by the defensive line. He gets out of it and then just sidearms it to TJ Hockenson for the touchdown, which makes it 22-all. So it's not over yet. Then Danny Amendola just decides to over celebrate and just go off his rocker. And it costs them 15 yards on the PAT. So it's a 48-yard point after touchdown kick for Matt Prater.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's certainly not a gimme.
No, definitely not.
Danny Amendola's a grizzly veteran. Like, he should know better than that not to. Do you know what I mean? Not to give away 15 free yards on a PAT.
Yeah. But you're right. They marched down just looking. So he played shotgun that entire time, and he just marched down quickly. 13 yards.
That was unreal.
13 yards to Hockenson. Amendola got 22 yards. Then he did a 29 bomb to Golladay.
That was crazy. Like that catch, right in the breadbasket. That there was only there was only 4 seconds left or 5 seconds left. That looked like there might have been, a 10-second runoff as they did that, because one of the Atlanta Falcons bumps into Kerryon Johnson as they're trying to all run back to get sort of onside, and it looked like that may have affected it, which doesn't make any sense. Like, why should Detroit get punished for a 10-second runoff if one of the defending players runs into one of their offensive players? That's stupid. Yeah. Yeah. But they wanted to review the play. They had no timeouts.
The completion.
But they wanted to review the play to make sure that Golladay had actually caught it.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to review the completion ruling, which upheld. And then, he had to quickly spike the ball to leave 3 seconds left. So, effectively that TJ Hockenson pass that he did for 11 yards was only in 3 seconds. So that was effectively the final play. Right. I firstly can't believe he was open, glaringly. He wasn't glaringly open, but enough. Yeah,
he was open enough, and he had the defender beat. Yeah. And the only reason I think he had the defender beat is because Stafford on the initial after the initial snap. That's what I mean. It looked like he was going to get swallowed up by the defensive line. He gets out of it, and then all of a sudden he looks straight up, and there's Hockenson, running to the left. And he just sidearms it straight to him.
Sidearms it. Yeah.
It was unreal.
Yeah.
Like, that is just a maximum Atlanta way to lose a game. Like, it just how many more times have we got to say it? There's no soul there.
Yeah,
there's no soul there. It's been stolen. And it's not going to get given back at any time.
Unless they blow up the team. That is the only way possible way they can.
They've got to go back to New England and beg Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots to sell them their soul back, because they stole it in that Super Bowl.
Yeah, they did. They literally did.
They need to go back there and beg.
A la
Bart Simpson and Milhouse. Like, he needs to get his soul back. Like, well, Atlanta Falcons. Unbelievable the way, especially this year.
They had head coach that would have that got them to there, and essentially got their soul stolen, is now gone. So, and the GM as well. So,
That's not going to give them their soul back.
Possibly not. Possibly not.
28-3.
Did you want to bring?
How do you lose a Super Bowl 28-3?
Did you want to briefly touch on that first game before we move on to studs and duds in New York and Philadelphia, which is not normally a game we touch on? It's purely for the fact of...
Not necessarily, but I think the only reason we do want to touch on it is Aiden's boy, Danny Dimes. Just on a simple, draw play, and all of a sudden he sees nobody in front of him and begins to take off. He's run the fastest that any quarterback has run in the last like 4 years or something like that. It was like 22 miles an hour or that's something right. like that. And
even
then all of a sudden,
Lamar Jackson. So
that's right. That's unbelievable
yeah,
in itself.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then
it is.
What's even more unbelievable is when the wheels start to fall off the cart at like the 25-yard line and his upper body is leaning too far forward and his legs just couldn't catch up with him. And then all of a sudden all the wheels fell off the cart and he falls to the ground.
That is such a New York thing to do.
My God. The only way it would have been even more New York if it had been Sam Darnold.
And it looked like the way the players reacted, they must have literally thought he was injured. They reacted like he was injured, big time.
Who was the sniper that got him?
I don't know. But it's, and I, again, two pitiful teams in the NFC East. Look, Wentz played better. It's probably
did
the best
it,
way
did
to
enough,
put that.
Did enough to get the win.
They seem to find these tight ends out of nowhere. If one tight end gets injured, they'll get another one. Richard Rodgers, they had Zach Ertz injured. Got it, injured. They got Richard Rodgers in 85 yards for 6 catches. They just find these tight ends and then basically make all the other two redundant. I don't get it. That's all they find is tight ends. So
obviously they've got a plethora of them on the practice squad.
Yeah, clearly have a plethora of them. I never knew who he was up until they said they had no choice to put him in. So, it was a terrible game to watch. I'm not going to lie. It's a classic NFC
Philadelphia,
East game.
Philadelphia actually started that game pretty good. Like, they actually had an opening drive touchdown, which they hadn't done since week one.
Yeah.
So, they actually looked like they were going to be okay. And you know, like they have, they just continuously... let teams back into the contest. Late in the first, they had a missed field goal. It was almost like nobody wanted to win this game. Deion Lewis comes in, his very first touch of the game as a run, gets through the line of scrimmage, and then somebody bats the ball out, and Philadelphia sort of capitalizes on it. You're just like, man, does anybody want to win this game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the back of that Daniel Jones run anyway. They did. They as bad as that was, didn't they? They did score off that play, I'm pretty sure, after it. So Philadelphia didn't play.
They should have scored before that,
yeah. They didn't play terrible, Philadelphia, is all I was gonna say. They didn't play, they're not the worst New York team in New York. So they're clearly not the worst New York team. And I don't know what they're –
it was a really good comeback by Philadelphia. Yeah, they were down 12. Correct. They were down 12 points. So for them to sort of, muster up for Wentz to muster up a game-winning drive, towards the end of that game was, I guess – and plus they had no choice but to try and go for the 2-point conversion to sort of push the game out to 3 points. Yeah. So a field goal would actually tie the game. But then we all forget that it's the New York Giants and it's Daniel Jones. So there was probably not going to be a chance for a field goal inside the last 40 seconds. Anyway.
Is it as simple as they're just having no Saquon Barkley, really just They're just that bad? Is it as simple as that?
Stop turning the ball over. They give away such cheap possession.
Yeah, they do.
The Giants. Like, Daniel Jones, he just cannot stop fumbling the ball.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he does. He bobbles it a lot.
They just got to stop giving the opponent such cheap possession and field position.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have any more before we move on to studs and duds of the week?
I thought the Monday night game that was on today was a bit of a defensive battle. I thought Chicago did well to sort of keep LA under wraps for a little while, but they just didn't have the offensive game there to sort of back it up.
I agree.
it was a little bit. It was a funny sort of game. Yeah, the the Bears are they're a first half team. They're a pretty poor second half team, but they're even worse in the third quarter. All season, they've only scored 7 total points in the third quarter, and that came last week against Carolina. So their starts to the second half are just not getting off to the right start, even though they're 5-2.
Yeah.
And I'll say that not all 5-2 teams are equal, and this is one of them.
I mean, effectively, you're right. I think the defense for LA won that game because Chicago has a phenomenal defense as well. But Nick Foles is essentially shut out of that game. He just couldn't get enough ball away. I mean, Robinson did admirable in getting 70 yards. He didn't drop a ball at all. But other than that, they really just got shut out.
Yeah, they totally got shut out. I thought Cleveland and Cincinnati was a fun game. That was a lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, if we didn't really talk about the Odell Beckham Jr. Injury, which basically started off from Baker Mayfield's very first pass that he threw in the first quarter was an interception, and OBJ had to chase down the defender, and he just got caught into an awkward position sort of trying to make the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's landed on his left knee a little bit awkwardly. He's done his ACL and he's done for the season.
In that game, actually, that was Joe Burrow's first 400-yard game. Unfortunately, still for him, he's getting sacked so many times, and that's just not his fault. He got sacked 4 times in that game. You know, especially when you got like a monster like Myles Garrett coming at you as well.
No,
so.
And that's the thing. They would have sent him a lot. But you know, not to say that all of it is on Joe Burrow, but he's got to learn to sort of get rid of the ball a little bit quicker as well, and that will only come with time and reps. But like I said, if you're just getting no protection up front, then he's just going to get smashed.
Well, he was a bit of a fumble master as well. He got 3 fumbles in that game as well. So
a lot of pressure was put on him. And look, a lot of pressure was on Baker Mayfield. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
That you know Baker had a lot of pressure put on him this week. And to come into this game and play as well as what he did, is terrific. And that's me. There you go. There's a prime example there. 5-2 team in the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Not all 5-2 teams are created equal.
No, that's a good point.
Bills are 5-2.
Yeah. 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 No. Well, that kind of makes sense. But yeah, no, you're right. Not all 5-2 teams are created equal. The Browns. Look, I'm not completely sold on Baker Mayfield. It was very accurate in that game, extremely accurate in that game,
He started 0-5 in that game and then only had 2 incompletions for the rest of the game.
And he got 5 touchdowns after starting 0-5.
Yeah, 5 touchdown passes, unreal.
Yeah, so I guess there's no point talking about our duds of the week because, I mean, I'll mention my dud of the week and, that last whole, 90-second capitulation by Atlanta – starting with Todd Gurley falling over the line. That was unfortunately just pitiful. And I think you mentioned your
I think they're funny duds of the week this week. In,
they are funny duds.
Todd Gurley not wanting to score but ends up scoring, and Danny Dimes with all the wheels falling off the cart trying to score a touchdown there's nobody within like 15 yards of him.
It is pretty funny. I just can't believe he got quicker than Lamar Jackson, I just found that very, very interesting. It was awesome.
That's out of control.
So he's a quick boy. He just can't hold a ball.
That's right. Yeah, his legs are good. His hands are very bad.
Who did you have as your start of the week then?
In a losing effort, I thought just on the one play, was DK Metcalf and the hunt down of Budda Baker on that interception saying, give me back my bag of lollies. Like for a man of his size, he looks massive in pads. I get it, but I guarantee you take that jersey and those pads off and he is just man personified, like unbelievable.
It's a freak show. I remember seeing when they had the combine.
He's a freak of nature.
When they were all talking up this DK Metcalf at the combine and just what he could lift and all that for his size, for a wide receiver. and he, his whole, he's got these muscles that come out here. Like, it's a weird sort of body shape. Like, you know, those sort of muscles that sort of,
like your lats.
Well, like the lat, like his lats are probably as big as my fist.
They're lats on lats.
Yeah, they're lats on lats. That's exactly right. I suppose that's pretty fair. That's a pretty sort of decent.
That was a huge play. Look, if that didn't happen today, my start of the week would have been Marcus Davenport of the Saints. The only time that the Saints defense actually stepped up and did something to push Carolina outside of field goal range right at the end of that game. You know, it's 27-24. Bridgewater takes a sack that he just absolutely could not take. Marcus Davenport just blasts through the line. They lose 8 yards. So, Sly has a 65-yard field goal attempt. If he had have made it, it would have been the longest in NFL history, overtaking Matt Prater's 64-yarder. And it just, and I mean just, went under the crossbar. So, yeah. If Bridgewater doesn't take that sack and loses 8 yards, then that game goes into overtime.
Wow.
It's just a play that the Saints defense just had to make, and they haven't made really all year. Yeah. Oh, well, in saying that, there was the Marshawn Lattimore stop and stuff on Mike Williams against the Chargers in the Superdome as well that sort of stopped them in overtime, but that was an amazing play by a man the size of Marcus Davenport as well. Like, he's a big unit, and he just blasts through the line and makes the play that absolutely had to be made.
Mine could have went. It was either between two rookies. In one game that we didn't talk about at all, was in the Jaguars versus the Chargers. I nearly gave it to Justin Herbert because he's just slotting in well, you know, 347 yards.
He looks good. Like, he looks really, really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. His arm strength is insane. It's absolutely insane, his arm strength.
Yeah, he's got a cannon.
But I gave it to James Robinson, who we haven't really talked about that much, just in a losing side. He's just, you know, he got 22 carries for 119 yards and a touchdown. But he's just been so he is WR2 at the moment in the entire league for a guy that's playing in his rookie season that every single body passed on. 255 players were selected in the draft, and James Robinson was not one of them, which I specifically wrote down.
It's crazy. Like, he, you know, the loss there of Leonard Fournette. By Jacksonville essentially just sort of discarding him, and he's going to be the guy that slots into that sort of alpha running back role, and he's been great.
Fantasy points we always talk about, but his average 30 fantasy points at the moment is 30.9 average.
So it's just there.
That was
a really fun sort of back and forth game too.
Yeah, that was two teams that, you know, we don't talk about that much, and they're not the greatest teams in the world, but it was kind of a fun back and forth that game, especially that third quarter. That third quarter was just
third quarter was out of control. It was 35 points scored.
Yeah, that third quarter was just, there was points galore. The points went everywhere. It started from a weird, like, blocked punt touchdown at the start. So they blocked a punt and they scored a touchdown. I think it was who scored the touchdown? Jacksonville. They blocked the punt and then ran the ball into.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did too. They got right around the punter for the Chargers took way too long on that punt. It was unbelievable how slow he was in taking that punt. It gets blocked, no flags, and they run it in for a touchdown. That was to start the third quarter.
Yeah,
and then it just went on from there.
And then straight after, it's just a weird back and forth. Straight after that, they missed a field goal. And then it was just, oh, my God, it was a topsy-turvy sort of game. There was fumbles in there. The touchdowns. Obviously, that 35 points. It was 35 points, wasn't it? Yeah, in that third quarter.
35 points. Yeah, Chargers scored 20. The Jacksonville scored 15.
Yeah, it was a fun game. It was back and forth, but it was a fun game. It was a really sort of fun game. It just I don't know how everybody missed, and that's including us, anybody on fantasy missed James Robinson. But if you picked him up on the waiver wire, you know, good work on that. Because
oh no, exactly.
That guy's not going anywhere at all. So
look, I guess we give a little bit of speaking of field goals, give a little bit of a bit of shout out to the Buffalo Bills winning a game with six field goals like Denver did this season as well at over the New England Patriots. But we talked about it before we come on here, like the Jets actually held a lead in this game against Buffalo, and once the second quarter started, they just proceed. They had a total of 4 offensive yards, which is offensive, in that second quarter. So their possessions in the second quarter go 4 plays, 12 yards, a minute 35, punt. The next lot, 3 plays, 0 yards, a minute 37, punt. The next series, 3 plays, minus 6 yards, a minute 50, punt. The next series, 3 plays, 3 yards, 43 seconds, punt. And then the salt in the wounds right at the end of it. It was 3 plays, minus 5 yards, 48 seconds, interception. Like, that's just a series of plays in a quarter that it just, to read them out, that's unbelievable. Like, that is a very close second for Dud of the Week.
We can't give them Dud of the Week, but that's a problem. We could give it to them every week. That's the thing.
You just can't just keep heaping crap on the New York Jets. But when they had 5 possessions in that second quarter, and that's what they dish up. It's unbelievable.
I mean, why not? I mean, why can't you give it to them every week? That's how terrible they're playing. But it's true. Oh my God. Yeah, that whole New York borough is I don't know what they got to do. The Jets need, you know, every position they need filling.
I told you that the last straw of the fire sale is going to be when they put Sam Darnold on the chopping block.
It would be very interesting, but I just can't see that happening.
I don't think so. But if they're going in to that second half of the season, then they're 0-10 and 0-11.
Yeah.
That could, yeah. Even that, like the trade, and that's the thing. The trade deadline is coming up. So
yeah,
that would mean that he is going to get released, and that would be huge. So if they're going to do it, they're going to have to do it very, very soon.
Because or he plays a backup if they do finish like that, which I don't know.
What are they going to do? Put Joe Flacco in? Look how good they were last week with him.
Oh no! I mean he stays there and he plays backup to the possibly incoming quarterback is what I'm saying.
Oh, in Trevor Lawrence.
That's what I'm sort of getting at, but who knows? I don't know. They need a lot more than a quarterback. That's pretty evident.
A lot more.
Well, that'll do it for the NFL podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Final Play Pod. Facebook's Final Play Podcast, where you'll see all the links to Spotify, and I think Podbean's on there, if I'm correct, but I definitely know Spotify's on there, but Podbean is on there. Thank you for shaking your head.
Podbean's on there as well.
So give us a like, give us a share. Also, we're on gimcode.com.au if you're into that cult of trading cards, like my other fellow broadcaster, so to speak. And that's where you can get all our pods, which is great.
Yeah, love getting them out there. So yeah, check us out. Check us out on Spotify. Check us out on Gimco. Check us out on Twitter. We're always trying to get some of the latest info on some of the big news that's sort of happening in the three things that we cover. So like us on Facebook. Just a simple search of the Final Play Podcast, and we're on there, and you'll get you get news and all of our pods and everything on there too.
You definitely do. I don't know what to call my name, but I just, oh man, I'm just, I don't know what to do with the Cowboys. I just, I'm at wit's end with the Cowboys. I'm not moving from
it. It would be, but in saying that, I guess it's, to me, it's kind of, to me, it's kind of funny to see the videos that Stephen A. Smith keeps putting out, because he just loves heaping a lot of crap on the Cowboys, and him dancing in front of his computer, sending out videos saying, how about them Cowboys? Like, it's just, he's full wrestling heel persona. Like, he loves it.
People keep biting into it. That's the problem. And he knows,
of course they do.
Because I listened to him once, and he said that he's been on Jerry Jones's massive yacht. You know, he knows Jerry Jones and all that. But he said he'll just keep doing it because people just keep biting.
He has got the utmost respect for Jerry Jones.
Yeah. It's just, when like his team that he follows is, I suppose. No, he follows Pittsburgh, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Damn it. All right. Well, my name's Jason.
You can always give him crap about the Knicks.
Well, that's that's good. Well, he should be following a New York side. Then I can give him heaps of crap. But can't give him crap for following Pittsburgh.
No. Well, he follows the Yankees too. So, they're not an easy target to go after. But the New York Knickerbockers are definitely an easy target to go after him on.
Definitely. Definitely an easy target. Oh my God, an easy target for him to go on. Anyway,
they've been a joke for 20 years. Like, it's unreal.
The Knicks.
The Dallas Cowboys being entitled delusional fans. The New York Knicks fans, they're entitled and delusional as well. Don't worry about that.
Entitled, delusional, and plain dumb, but loyal, because they keep dumb and loyal because they keep playing for season tickets. Season tickets that are always sold out. I don't get it.
You want to hurt James Dolan? Then don't go to his games and put money into his pocket.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then that's never going to happen, so... It's never going to happen. That's never going to happen, ever. So, but that's where the delusion comes into.
To say that it's the place to be seen, at a Nick game. But, that's slowly being moved over to Brooklyn, I guess, across the river over to the Barclays Center. So people are going to get fed up with it sooner rather than later.
Well, my name's Jason. I don't like any New York team at all, so I'm happy with that.
Miles got a soft spot for the Knicks. I do have a soft spot for the Knicks.
I should clarify. I don't hate the Knicks. I don't like their owner. I should have clarified. I didn't use the word hate. I just don't like any New York side.
I don't think many people do like the owner there at the Knicks, but I've had a soft spot for the Knicks for a while, so I can't help but pay attention to what's happening there. But it's just dumpster fire after dumpster fire. Hopefully they can sort of turn it around a little bit this year with some of the management that they've got there and whatever they're going to do with it with their draft pick this year, and maybe they might be able to move some things around and maybe get someone like Chris Paul I don't know. It's just something's got to turn in New York City, because they are losing their grip and losing their luster in the city of New York, in the biggest market in America.
Well, otherwise they would have had Durant and Kyrie Irving if they didn't have that luster still.
They could have. Like 10 years ago, they could have had LeBron James.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
He didn't even want to give them an interview when he was making his decision to go to Miami. He didn't want to give them the time of day.
Which just shows you how bad they are.
Could you imagine the marketing mecca that LeBron James could have turned himself into if he was in New York City?
Oh, he yeah. which is what he's doing in LA right now. It's
that's
the same
right.
thing he's
he
doing
chose,
in LA
he
right
chose
now.
To turn so, that down.
So, yeah, well, that just shows you how much, yeah, I guess of a dumpster fire New York is.
Right, and that was 10 years ago.
That was 10 years ago, yeah. Wow. Oh, my God.
Unreal.
All right, well, that's it, I guess, for the week for the NFL.
All right, yeah, like we said, we'll continue on with a little bit of State of Origin. Who the hell knows when the NBA season is going to start up? So we'll continue
they're talking around Christmas, but who knows? They're talking.
I've sort of heard the 22nd of December, but yeah, who knows? Like the draft's coming up soon, but the NFL's in full swing and they're just going to keep powering through. So we'll just keep powering through.
They won't stop. They're not stopping.
They're not stopping. That's like trying to stop. A cruise ship in a kilometer. that crew that could go on at full speed. That cruise ship was just going to keep plowing through.
Money. It's all about money for that one.
Well, that's it.
All right. Have a good week, everyone.
See you.